This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to On the Bench, a special pop-up edition. Zach, can you make a pop noise for me? Wow, that's really good. That's solid. Nicely done. So I'm Brendan Sinode. I'm joined by Zach Blostein today, as you heard him popping. And we're doing this pop-up episode because some interesting developments happened this week after our Monday episode in the world of FSU recruiting. And that development was two offers went out to class of 2023 quarterbacks. About to introduce who those two people are. Zach, let's break down, I guess, who the two offers were. And then we'll get into the why of this.
Yeah, so Florida State goes ahead and offers two 2023 quarterbacks. The first one, Brock Glenn out of Memphis, Tennessee. He's a three-star prospect, number 428 national prospect in the 24/7 composite, number 23 quarterback overall. And the second quarterback prospect is Ricky Collins. He's a four-star quarterback committed at Purdue right now. He's out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He's the number 176 national prospect and number 12 quarterback in the composite rankings.
So this is significant. And Zach, you can speak on this better than I can, given that you cover recruiting full time all the time and or into it. We don't see offers usually come this point in the cycle for quarterbacks with a team that already has a quarterback committed solidly for about a year. Right. So this is kind of unique in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely unique and it's definitely a plan, you know, move. It's not like they're just randomly doing this.
So let's get into the plan then. This has come to some of the background we've shared at Knowles 24/7 in recent days. I know we have a lot of people who listen to the podcast and that aren't subscribed to Knowles 24/7. If you want the information as it comes out immediately, that's always going to be our priorities to the people, the subscribers at Knowles 24/7. So we've had this information on it for a day or two. Zach's had some really good intel on the two quarterback offers as well. So check out Knowles 24/7 as well. But for those of you who aren't familiar with what's happened with the quarterback recruiting recently, this isn't something that was just done, an old man phrase here, all willy-nilly. And it also wasn't a super long-term, 6-month plan either. I would say probably at the beginning of the spring, maybe March-ish or so. Not an exact timeline, but I think for a couple of months, there has been, hey, let's do an evaluation process through the spring, make sure we are dotting our I's, crossing our T's, and doing a thorough evaluation of the quarterbacks in this class. And that was partial what led to this movement, is that Florida State saw some quarterbacks that they thought, hey, these guys have value, they can help us out, and they, in our estimation, are attainable. Florida State can make a play for both of these guys legitimately. And that would be in addition to having Chris Parson in the class. My understanding, Zach, is that FSU has been clear in communicating to Chris Parson that there was a possibility to take two in the class. That wasn't always the case, but it's something that they've said recently to him, is that it is something that could indeed happen. I think one other reason why we've seen these offers go out is as you project ahead. Florida State currently has three scholarship quarterbacks on its roster. Asking around a little bit, I know I've kind of beat the drum of three seems really, really shallow and exposes you to depth, especially with Jordan Travis's injury history. I do think three may not be as unique as initially thought in the transfer portal era. If you're the number four quarterback, you're probably trying to transfer and go somewhere else, go down a level, something like that. So it's not unique. I think ideally you'd like to have four. I don't think three is maybe as alarming as initially thought in the offseason. But as you project ahead to next year, if you could have four, I think that's ideal. And with Jordan Travis potentially leaving after the season, whether that's to go pro whether that's to go, please turn off your audio there, Zach.
I'm sorry, I don't have a working phone right now. It's going through the Mac.
Very unprofessional. You could turn off notifications. And it distracted me. But for Jordan Travis, like, there's a chance that he's not on the roster in 2023. He may move on to do something else. Again, maybe professional. Whatever it is, I think they look at the roster and say, okay, we may only have three with a pretty young group of guys. That would be a true freshman in Chris Parson, a redshirt freshman or sophomore, depending on how much he plays, and AJ Duffy, and then Tate Rodemaker. So adding a fourth one to the room in 2023, and thus a second one in this class, has something that FSU says long-term would be healthy for the quarterback room.
You're spot on with that. You know, we've talked about it a little bit, hinting at it, that something like this could happen. And I definitely, you know, I agree with you. I don't think this is like the plan all along. You know, Florida State wasn't always set on taking two quarterbacks. But when you consider what's going on in college football right now, and just how roster management works nowadays, especially at the quarterback position, like you said, like a four-string quarterback is probably not going to be at your school for more than a year if they're not moving up the depth chart. They're going to look to transfer, even if that's to go to a lesser school, like a G5 or an FCS school, if that means getting, you know, film, because that's what matters most now. You know, you got to wait out the process, but like some of these guys want to get on the field, and I get it. But that also shifts things about, you know, how the transfer portal works, and also high school recruiting. Like it, you know, shifts how much these schools value taking high school recruits. Obviously, Florida State's in a position where they want to add two quarterbacks now, because of how their roster currently looks. And you know, I think that's a good plan.
You mentioned that you think it's a good plan. I've been humored by some of the interaction of people on the message board who were saying, oh, this is too late. It looks like we're panicking. Like, I don't think that's the case. It's been done. Again, this is at least a couple months of like, let's see if this is something that makes sense. This is not something that was done overnight. And you, Zach, wrote in your report card on post-spring recruiting, so entering the June months, the June and July in that evaluation period, you wrote, if I'm not mistaken, that you thought getting another quarterback in the fold in 2023 was sensible. Why at the time was that something that you were kind of hopeful Florida State would do?
Yeah, I mean, I think I like what Chris Parson brings to the table. That's their current 2023 quarterback commit. I think, I know I watched him in Nashville at the Elite 11. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. But Mike Norvell needs options. I mean, this offense hasn't really got going since he's been here the way he's wanted it to be. I mean, that last year at Memphis, that's the Mike Norvell offense at its best, and that's mm-hmm. That's what he needs. So, you know, I think Chris Parson can unlock, you know, some things in that offense that haven't been seen. But why not go and get another quarterback to even, you know, expand that the possibility of unlocking that full offense? And I think the two guys they offered are both really good quarterbacks and could be those guys to help Norvell, you know, turn this thing around. And at the end of the day, like, that's what's got to happen. I mean, they got to get difference makers at every position, especially quarterback. It's the most important position on the field. And I don't think they need to limit their options. And landing, you know, we could say, oh, they could just go in the transfer portal after the season and go get a guy that's experienced. Well, that's easier said than done. If a guy's, you know, a good quarterback, he's probably not going to go to Florida State at the end of the season just based on, you know, recent history.
Amateur hour over here.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't had, you know, good success landing guys in the portal. I mean, Jordan Travis is probably their best, but that was before this staff got to Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. I think the high school ranks is always the way to go, especially when you're trying to develop guys. And I think both the guys they offered are really good options.
So let's get into the guys they've offered. I know I'm getting old when I keep wanting to call guys different names, like Brock Glenn. I keep wanting to call Brock Heward, and Ricky Collins. I keep wanting to change his last name as well. It's been that sort of like week for me, where in the 30s now and brain's not working as well as it did in the 20s for sure.
You're a geezer.
Yeah, man, I can only imagine what 40, 50, God willing, 60, 70, 80 is going to look like. So let's get into Brock Glenn and his game. I really like the huddle. You know, I'm only watching highlights here, and I'm not there in person to see him throw yet. But he to me, like, the one negative is I don't think he has like a live arm. Like, I don't think he puts a ton of like torque on it, and he has to kind of get into some of the throws, but he can push the ball downfield. And more so, like, I love his footwork, the way he moves in the pocket. It's really, really high level how naturally he kind of feels pressure in the pocket, slides around, moves his feet well, keeps his eyes downfield, which is really important. Seems like he's accurate as well. So there's a lot to like there. I think he's an ascending prospect. Zach, you saw him at the Elite 11. I know you're watching Chris Parson primarily, but Brock Glenn's someone, I almost call him Brock Heward. Brock Glenn is someone who got an invite to the Elite 11 and was one of the two or three best players there, right?
Yeah. He was the third invite at the Elite 11 final, or for the Elite 11 finals in Los Angeles, from that Nashville camp. He was impressive, man. And, you know, I'll talk a little bit about his huddle because I just watched it right before this podcast. There's a play, and you talked about this, his footwork in the pocket is just really impressive. The play kind of breaks down. I think the D end gets around the offensive tackle on the left side. And the D end goes for like a strip sack on Glenn. He's not successful, but the most impressive thing is that Glenn like doesn't panic. He sticks in the pocket. He basically takes like a half step forward and then completes a pass downfield. Like most quarterbacks, even at the college level, if that happens, you're seeing them either, just take a sack or scramble out of the pocket and make a, you know, forced decision. He looked extremely comfortable. Obviously, you know, things are going to be moving faster at the next level, but that's just a really good sign for a quarterback to be that poised in the pocket early on in his career. At Elite 11, you're right, I was paying most attention to Chris Parson just because that's what I was there for content-wise. I wasn't aware of, you know, Florida State going all in on Glenn until a little bit after that. But, you know, I think he's a good quarterback. Obviously, the Elite 11 guys thought so. There were other guys that were more highly ranked at Elite 11 that didn't get invites, and Brock Glenn did. He also scored in the top 10 for the Spark rating. You know, I don't know how much to make of that, but definitely has some impressive physical tools as well.
Yeah, I think that shows that there's some physical upside there. And you watch the highlights, like he's not a dominant athlete, but he does move in the pocket well, like we said, and he runs to throw, which I think is important and becoming increasingly more like both the college and NFL level. Like you have to have, that's why 24/7 Sports got rid of the pro style quarterback, dual threat quarterback. Like you have to be able to move now. Every quarterback has to have some level of dual threat to them. And his name's Brock, which I think that's going to make him a higher chance of a hit rate of being a quarterback. I think just naturally, if your name is Brock Glenn, then you have a chance of being a really good quarterback.
It's science.
You caught up with Brock. So let's get into that before we talk about Ricky Collins. Let's talk about Brock and the interview you had with him, Zach.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing to note is that there's some deep ties with his coaches at his high school and Mike Norvell's staff when they were at Memphis. He knows Mike Norvell, Coach Tony Tokars, Coach Justin Krause, who's the director of scouting on defense now. Krause was recruiting Glenn to Memphis when he was there, and he made the transition over to Florida State this offseason and then continued recruiting Glenn at FSU. So that's kind of the connection there, the initial connection. I know Cooper Williams is another staffer that is familiar with Glenn due to him being at Memphis before FSU as well. But yeah, his main relationship is with Coach Tokars. They've been talking ever since he went down for an unofficial visit to Florida State in March. Since that visit, they've been building a relationship, and Tokars has been open with him. He talked about it in our interview, basically saying that they were, you know, considering taking two quarterbacks. They weren't always set on it, but that Tokars was communicating with him often about the possibility of taking two. And he talked about how it was a great moment when Coach Mike Norvell got him on the phone and offered him a scholarship a couple of days ago.
All right. And then, so the next quarterback we're going to talk about is Ricky Collins from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. A lot of people have asked on the message board, why is LSU not totally in on him? I think that's kind of like increasing, but that is his dream school. I'm told he's from he's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That's where LSU is. Like that is his dream school, but the previous coaching staff really didn't recruit him. His current one has recruited him more so than the previous coaching staff, but I think that did sour him a little bit, and kind of, he's a Purdue commit right now. And he's very much so open to the idea of continuing the recruiting process and seeing what develops here in the summer. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Ricky Collins, to me, has an intriguing skill set. I think someone you can see that's still kind of ascending in the way they're developing physically, in the way they play the game, you know, the way he plays quarterback. I spoke to someone who's seen him throw live in person. Like, I thought the huddle stuff, like the way he does some improvisational stuff and sticks in the pocket and can hang tough and deliver a throw under pressure and is really comfortable attacking the middle of the field. I thought that was all really good stuff. I thought the release looked a little weird, Zach, but I talked to someone who's seen him throw in person. Like, nah, he's legit. He's got a live arm. I think everyone who sees him throw in person comes away impressed. And I think it's worth noting, I don't know if you have his profile pulled up right now. You mentioned it at the top of the show what he's ranked. There's a pretty big discrepancy, if I'm not mistaken, Zach, between the 24/7 sports rankings and the national one for him.
It actually got a little bit closer, I believe. Yeah, they're both in like the 170 range now. I know 247 bumped him up to that ranking, a 91 rating in the top 247 rankings a little bit ago. They mentioned his loose live arm, and they were just, you know, talking about how natural, you know, his natural tools and stuff. But yeah, he's a guy that's seen his stock rise this offseason for sure.
And you have a little bit of scoop on there with Ricky Collins, a little scoop, a little juicy scoop. So lay it on us.
Yes, sir. So Ricky Collins, I was informed yesterday that he will be taking an official visit to Florida State for the weekend of June 10th to the 12th. That's locked in. He's also got an official to the school he's committed to, Purdue, for the weekend prior to that, June 3rd through the 5th. And then I believe he's taking an official visit to Oregon. It's not completely set in stone based on my conversation with him yesterday, but he's planning to take an official to Oregon later on in June as well.
Interesting. Interesting. So it shows that he's open for business for sure, that he's willing to kind of explore what's going to happen here this June. So it's going to be a really interesting month or so for FSU with quarterback recruiting. How does this all impact Chris Parson and his commitment status? You know, he hasn't talked about that at all publicly. I know that FSU is completely cool. Like, they want two quarterbacks. They like Chris Parson. They like what he brings. I think getting him with someone else with a varying skill set would be really good and healthy for the quarterback room. And I've also been told that they are communicating, have communicated with Chris Parson. This is something that could happen. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Anything else, Zach?
I don't think so. I mean, just a few other things to note from my talk with Ricky Collins. I posted a full article.
You talked to him?
Yeah, I talked to him. Full article with him on Notes 24/7 right now. But yeah, he said he's been talking to the staff since last year, and building that relationship. And he said for them to finally offer me, it means a lot because we do have that bond and the relationship that's been existing for a couple months now. But yeah, just like Brock Glenn, Tony Tokars is most in contact with Ricky Collins, obviously, as the quarterback's coach. And they've made it clear that they want him in the class. The thing I'm here for is the Tony Tokars versus Kenny Dillingham recruiting battle.
Oh, Oregon, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's very fitting that Obi-Wan Kenobi airs tomorrow, and we're going to have some master and apprentice, like, kind of dynamic going on.
I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Only a master of evil, Darth.
Huh?
It's gonna be awesome. Pivotal month of June coming up.
Oh, you're gonna call it pivotal?
I might just call it pivotal.
Oh my god. Thank you for being gentle to me, Zach. Ricky Collins is ranked 176 nationally and 172nd by 24/7 Sports. It doesn't get much closer
huge
than that.
What a idiot.
I think that the last thing before we get out of here, other than me being stupid, is that there could be, it's so tough that people who trust like my, that can hear me stutter and stammer my way through thoughts on this podcast and then completely butcher like someone's ranking and thinking there's a discrepancy and there's almost none, and then have to listen to me actually have real insight and intel that's accurate. I understand there's a lot of good faith that you're putting into that. So thank you if you're totally buying into it. But Zach knows I kind of know what I'm talking about sometimes.
A little bit.
I wouldn't be surprised, Zach, if there are more quarterback offers down the road. I think these were the two priorities, and that's why they were the first two offered. So I wouldn't be shocked. I'm not saying that's definitely going to happen, but Florida State did its due diligence again with the spring evaluation period to kind of see, you know, is there anyone else we can expand the board to? So we'll see. One name that I personally like, and it's just someone who I think makes sense, that he's a Penn State commitment, and Penn State's got it, you know, moving pretty well. So that's a toughie, but he is in the state of Florida. He's only 2.5 hours or so from Florida State, from the land of Tim Tebow. I know it's kind of blasphemy on this podcast, but he's from Nice High School in Ponte Vedra, and that's Marcus Stokes. That's the guy who had a giant discrepancy, Zach. Oh, I feel much better. Woo! I did look at that yesterday.
He was 5 spots.
No. he's ranked 170th nationally by 24/7 Sports, but in the composite, he's ranked 387th nationally. Wow. I knew I saw something pretty drastic the other day when talking about quarterbacks. It makes me feel mildly better. But anyways, I like that kid. He's interesting. He doesn't have a huge arm, but super like gritty.
Yeah, I heard he's super. Yeah, I heard he's super cocky. Spoke to someone. Yeah,
he plays like that.
That knows him, and he, yeah, they described him as super cocky. So, definitely a good trait for a quarterback, I think.
Yeah, I think you want that in your quarterback. So anyways, that's a guy who I like. That's kind of on my radar. We'll see what happens. You know, if or when the board is expanded anymore, but it's been expanded a little bit. It's been a really interesting. Added a little bit of spice to this week of recruiting. So I think that's everything. Anything else, Zach?
No, I think we're good.
All right, say sticking the landing, please.
Sticking the landing.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.